turning the recording on. We had 29 attendees, and I can show you the spreadsheet with the list of people that attended. So we had representatives from several of the CG centers, and we had several representatives from INRA, and some of the USDA people from, databases in the USDA, such as Soybase. Jody Sook are from the Rosacea genome database. MaizeGDB, Vic is now with Soybase. Chris Rollins was there. Of course, Elizabeth and some of the folks from Bioversity and from the other CG centers. So I just thought it would be helpful to kind of talk about this really briefly this morning and kind of review any highlights that people had or any comments or feedback they'd like to give.
No, I think what I saw was there was a lot of discussion on standards and data and ontologies. People have started making noise about machine learning and creating, instead of having a standalone or the manually developed ontologies, people are talking about using machine learning and automated methods to create ontologies. And that means active learning. I don't know where that concept is coming from, but they want more flexibility and be able to develop ontologies based on their requirements or what kind of data that they are looking at, rather than something which is very predefined and well-defined kind of things. I went to majority of the ones were on plants, and they were all looking for high throughput phenotyping, where the phenotyping can be done by imaging the same plant using 6 cameras at a time. So 6 images and 3 to 4 times a day over a lifespan of the plant. Or a season, depending on whether it's annual or perennial, and observing certain traits like photosynthesis rates and leaf color, number of leaves, number of branches, root architecture, number of root branchings, and obviously looking at time of flowering. So these are very standard traits that people observe even using handheld, but now those things have been automated in that sense. So a lot of data coming from either imaging or through hyperspectral cameras and sensors. This high throughput phenotyping is happening not just in growth chambers or greenhouses, but now going out into the field as well. People are mounting these sensors and cameras on cranes and towers, as well as tractors. So the scale is big, and I think we are very well placed into the scenario where we should make an impact, because we started much earlier. I'm grateful that NSF recognized that we need to be in that game playing ahead of time. So if we can show the robustness of the ontology, how they can be used, how they can be integrated into various resources, and how they can help a researcher find the objects and kind of things to build hypotheses on, I think then we have a major buy-in. It's taken so many years now, but we've reached to a point that we have managed to get the community acknowledge our presence and our works that we have been doing in ontology development. So people are recognizing that we do need ontologies for describing data, for the data as well as describing the data, which is your metadata as well. So we need to plan accordingly, move quickly on where we are. There are a lot of things that are under bottleneck right now sometimes, but we need, I think that in the next few months, we need to move very quickly, get things done. We are in the year two of the cycle. So there are certain things have to be finished by year two. We can go back and look at those and then also start thinking about how we can innovate and improve our presence in the high throughput phenotyping world. You want to be on that wagon when that rolls out. All the funding agencies from Department of Energy, USDA, NSF, and the agencies in EU, they're all looking at their emphasis and thrust on high throughput phenotyping in that sense. So I think that's what I heard. Data standardization obviously is a big concern, and there are a couple of research coordination network fundings have happened, and they are looking also for our inputs as well. That's all from me. Anything else?
Yeah, so those are really helpful comments, and I kind of wanted to agree with what you said about the focus on high throughput phenotyping was really evident at this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like there was a lot of awareness of the need for ontologies.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. But in terms of our actual workshop with the CG folks, I was wondering if anyone had comments from people or feedback, or if basically what we did at the workshop was, here I can show the for the folks that weren't there. We introduced the Plantium and demonstrated the Plantium 1.0 beta, as we're calling it right now. And we showed a summary of the work that we've done since the November meeting, making mappings between the crop-specific trait dictionaries and the reference trait ontology. And we showed some examples of data that's been annotated to rice, cassava, and lentil germplasm. So I think this gives us a pretty good prototype of how we might go ahead with the other groups. It looked like from the discussions at the meeting that, you know, I was wondering which of the CG centers might be focused on next. We had representatives there from potato and rice. So those were some ideas that we thought we might talk about today. And I was wondering, Marie-Angelique, from your end, have you heard anything from any of the CG people that attended, or?
Yeah, some people were concerned about the GAF2 format. You know, because it's kind of weird for them. And they were wondering if it's the best format for annotating those kind of data, because when they saw, you know, the table, they asked many questions about it, and for them it was weird to see the germplasm with the phenotype and the genotype. I mean, it was, yeah.
I think it's a larger part of educating how we are doing it. I think they don't have to do anything on their end. They can manage the data in whatever format they have. When the time comes on sharing the data, either they tell us and give us the data in the format that we want, because our system depends on something, and we will continue to work with Chris Mungle and the Go group. They're already talking about extending the GAF number of columns and how the information is stored, because right now everything is stacked in column number 16 and column number 8, which is not appropriate. So I think sharing of the information and how we transform their data into the GAF format should not be a big concern, as long as we can show them that we are able, are they able to search on the things that they are looking for. How the data gets in, that's a different thing. As well. So it's all education. It takes time. Every time you impose a new thing to a community, they're always reluctant to accept. And there are lots and lots of questions which they're not used to looking at. It's a human nature.
Yeah. And really, I mean, it's not that complicated of a system to set up. So like Pankaj said, you know, we can work with whatever format their data is in and convert it if we have to.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not just a question of conversion, because if they are not able to use it, I mean, that can be a problem, especially when you present the thing as saying, you know, since we have this ontology, you can be interoperable with other data and get other data sets. So if they're not able to use the data set they get from our system, I mean, that's can be a problem.
So I agree on that, Murray and Shalik, and I think we should specifically look at what, when they download the data, what are they looking for, yeah, so that we can customize our scripts when we provide the data in a way that is acceptable to the community.
The new Plantio browser is actually much more functional in terms of downloading the data than we've ever had in the PO. So that's really one advantage I think we're going to have now.
Yeah, but not just the GAF, you know, the structure.
No, let me show you a little demonstration. Austin did a little demonstration of this, but it's going to take a second. This is a little bit slow.
Hello. I'm on
Hi,
the call.
Elizabeth.
Sorry, I thought it was 5:30.
No, it's always 5:15. That's okay. Hi.
Elizabeth, we are discussing the GAF2 format.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, you can specify, this is the standard download page from the browser, and you can pick whatever fields you want, and we're working on customizing these fields right now. Like, for instance, we no longer have the Panther family in the data, so we're working on figuring out how to customize all this. But basically, if you selected these fields, it actually doesn't come in a GAF format. It's basically a TSV file or a CSV file, which can be ported into, you know, any kind of, you know.
Yeah, but you need to know which column is what.
Right. So,
and I mean, for me, it's GAF, because column one is...
Right, but I mean, you can specify that however you know, you don't have to have, you can, if you can.
No, so I think I would say that Justin, create a ticket.
Flexible. Yeah.
Justin, create a ticket that when you download the data, the column headers are intact in that. And it should be, I think, place it in ours as well as in the generic Amigo that is maintained by Go, so that I think it is helpful for both the communities.
Yeah, and we need to continue working on customizing those fields so that it's clear to people what, you know, if they want certain information, how to get it.
Yeah, especially if you are comparing data from, you know, characterization, so from the GenBank data basically, to what the breeder are doing. I mean, the data they need for those two use cases are very different, so the format need to accommodate both needs.
So probably what we should
explore it using a couple of test cases. I suggest that we come up with a couple of queries instead of looking at it randomly. Couple of queries saying, given a question they're asking, and then going through the process from step one to step final, how we dump the data and with which format in that sense, okay?
Yeah, and for the GenBank data also, you know, the MCPD is a standard that is well accepted in the community, and maybe we need also to have this standard replated somewhere in the data.
So can you create a Amigo issue so that we know what that format is?
Yeah, sure.
Barry, have you looked at this Plantium 1.0 beta? I mean, I think there's a lot of cleaning needs to be done. And Justin, you and I should work on looking at, or the group over here should look at the files that needs to go in. I think there is some of the things that we didn't want, they still went in. So we need to pick and choose and clean up our SVN, what data is going in the Amigo.
Yeah, we can definitely do that.
That's Plantium Amigo.
Yeah, and about the browser, I have a comment. I mean, that would be great if we can come up with something regarding, you know, the fact that for now all the mappings are defined as subclasses, or I mean CO classes are subclasses of a TO class.
Yeah.
And so, but in some case we have taxonomic equivalent, or I don't remember exactly how Chris called them, but maybe we need to find a way to reflect this idea of taxonomic equivalent so we can have a different kind of mapping between what is really equivalent but taxonomic, in a taxonomic way compared to the subclass.
Can you give me an example?
Yeah, so if you have seen, I don't know, plant 8 for all the crop, you know, in the file. So if you go to plant 8.
Yeah.
And you look at the graph.
Mm-hmm.
So can we see the subclass?
Yeah.
Not in this graph. If you go.
If we go here.
So there you have the Swiss, all the CO are subclasses of plant height. But as you can see, I mean, for me, those plant height in CO should not be represented the same way than, for example, seedling height. That is also a subclass of plant height. That's very confusing. And the reason why I did that is just because if I created an equivalence between plant height in lentil, for example, and TO, and the plant height in TO, this mapping wouldn't have been shown on the browser.
I don't understand.
So here, if you look at this graph.
Can you click on that graph now for the plant height CO?
I mean, no, this graph is okay, actually. Yeah. So if you have the lentil, so lentil is CO339, plant 8, is defined as a either class plant 8 TO term.
Okay. Can we see that graph?
It's on the screen.
I can't see the graph. Oh, no, this is the one. Oh, no, the other graph view, not inferred tree view.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we just looked at it.
No, we looked at the parent TO one, not the CO.
Okay, I can do that.
So, yeah. Can you open that on a different tab? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's okay. So look.
So
plant height is defined as a subclass. The CO plant height is defined as a subclass of plant height, but it shouldn't really be a subclass. It should be instead a taxonomic equivalent.
So because can I make a suggestion?
Yes,
it would be really nice if on a graph like this, the word lentil would appear.
Right. That's something we've actually discussed.
So,
but still, that's not
that's a way of addressing Marie-Angelique's issue. If you can find a way of making the word lentil appear so that it's clear that it's not a plain vanilla iter relation, it's a species specification.
But Barry, so let's imagine that you have lentil plant height, and then you a different plant subclass of plant height of the TO term, I mean, is seedling height.
Right.
Yeah.
And those two, seedling height and lentil plant height, will be at the same level. And I think that's not correct because semantically they are different.
Right.
One is a real subclass and the other one is just a taxonomic equivalent.
I agree with you except for your use of the word just. It is an isa relation, but it is also a taxonomical equivalence. We don't want to lose either of those features, and at the moment we keep the isa, but we don't have an explicit way of capturing the taxonomical equivalence.
Right.
Yeah, so I think we should work on that, because that's important.
So I would suggest experimenting with different ways of doing this, in such a way that the word lentil appears, but it doesn't have to appear just as lentil plant height. That may not be correct, because it could be that lentil height plays a role in other circumstances where it's not plant height. It might be some other kind of height. So it's the CO339 which I object to. not because it shouldn't be there, but because it's sort of secret. Only the experts in the crop ontology will know that that means lentil. And I think many other people will want to know that that means lentil.
Right, well, that's discussed doing it, but the issue of the relation is a little bit more involved, I think. I don't think putting the plant species name in there, I mean, I don't know how to do it, but I think so we'd be able
can
to...
Can I make a suggestion just off the top of my head?
When they're
looking at this graph, everything is in the same color. I would suggest putting the lentil business down the left hand or the southwest corner in a different color.
I don't know if that'd be possible, but that's a good suggestion.
And then the fact that we're dealing with something very different over there than everywhere else, it becomes evident. And then the peculiar status of that link between the plant height and the CO339 plant height becomes clear, because that's what links the white stuff to the yellow stuff. And so that should be a different color again, because that's the crux. That's the crux connector between the TO and the CO. That's where the taxonomical specification is brought into play.
Yeah, but I mean, color are good for human, but you know, if we want to be machine readable, we need to find another way that just...
I agree. So maybe one way of doing it would be, and this is still for humans, but this would be a little bit closer to the machine readable. We create a second relation between plant height and CO plant height, which would mean taxonomic specification. So the relationship between CO 339114 and TO207 would be a double relation. It would be an ISA relation, and it would be taxonomic specification of, or something like that.
Okay, so you will still keep with the ISA relationship?
Absolutely, because it is an ISA relation.
Okay, but for me it's an ISA, but not, yeah. Something.
Because it's a special type of plant height. It's a special type of plant height. You know, it is a plant height,
seedling,
but it's a special type of plant height. Right. Could you let me finish what I'm saying? The lentil plant height is like a subclass. It is really a subclass of plant height. And you know, the whole thing about this viewer, I really am not a big fan of this. This is so rudimentary that it would be good if we had some better way to display things. So if we go back and look at, plant height here. Yeah, so the only other one really there, well, we have some special cases like relative plant height and uniformity. And then this one, which, oh, that's 334.
This is cassava.
That's cassava, yeah.
Oh, so
yeah, but that's a duplicate. But you know, this is a deprecated term.
Yeah. Oh, why is it showing up, I wonder?
Go back. I know why it is happening. It is because the measurement terms in CO and the method and the scale or variable terms in CO somehow are defined with some kind of a relationship that is not connecting the CO terms, CO methods and variables to their parent trait.
So, Pankaj, there's actually a much bigger issue in the browser concerning the relations, which I was about to talk about, which I think will solve the problem of the CO relations.
So, and I saw it in Obo Editor as well, this particular term, which is a method term. It shows up as a child of TO plant height and not the CO trait.
Yeah, but this is a variable.
Yeah, this is a variable term.
So this variable in CO somehow is not, the relationship is not recognized, and it automatically places it with the actual TO.
Okay, which is not correct.
Yeah, so it's something either has to be fixed in the CO file or Amigo is not behaving nicely. So well, I suggest
we definitely have some Amigo issues. So while we're talking about that, let's just go back and discuss that real quick.
Oh wait, just a second. Can you, Mariangela, create an Amigo issue for that?
For what?
That your CO variables and methods are not connecting to the CO trait.
Right. That's what I'm talking about, Pankaj. And you could definitely open that tracker in addition to the tracker that we have open with them already.
Yeah, because you open a tracker, Lord.
Yeah. So right now, none of the PO relations are being displayed, except for is a part of and then occurs in, which is in the TO. But if you look, and so what Justin and I have been working with Chris and Seth and talking with them about how to solve this. The problem is, and this is a problem for Go as well with this new browser, that they haven't, so none of our special relations in the PO are being displayed. And so, Marie, if you want to make a comment on this tracker as well about the TO or the CO relations.
Yeah, okay, I will
add that to this discussion.
Okay.
So if you look, the Go, they're trying to figure out how to deal with this in the Go as well. And so we were talking with Chris yesterday and trying to set up a meeting with them to get this sorted out. Because right now, you know, none of our relations like preceded by or participates in or has participant, has part, none of these are being displayed, develops from. So this was something that we kind of, you know, now that we have the browser up, we've been exploring it and sort of poking at it. And so this is a really big issue that we're trying to get sorted out. And I think once they fix this, then this will work for the other relations as well. So we'll be able to see the relationships between those CO terms. But I agree, it would be a good idea to open a tracker on this same number 20.
Okay.
Or I mean open an issue saying that the CO relations are also not being displayed. And as well, none of the relations in the TO, such as in here's in, are being displayed. So that's a big issue on the browser right now. So I think we've kind of gotten a little bit back here. Yeah. But getting back to the issue of this proper relationship to relate plant height in the species-specific ontologies and the plant height in the TO, I'm not sure if having both an ISA and another relation will work, but we could try it out and see.
Yeah, maybe we can.
Yeah, and I don't know if we have any control over the color of the graph views, but...
No, I think we should just put a request and somebody who is going to work on data visualization, they should take it.
Actually have a better system of data visualization because this is very static and it doesn't even show us what the relations are. Like there's no...
We cannot do anything right now. So this is the current state until we have additional pair of hands to work on.
In theory, we could change it because I believe it's still just using the old GraphViz form. But I think they're kind of moving away from it. I think the OLSVIS would probably be a better long-term thing, but non-Go terms don't show up there.
No, I think we need to work on a better visualization. We cannot depend on external sources for this.
Justin, what do you mean non-Go terms?
Well, like you were showing yesterday, the OLSVIS it works fine for Go terms, but other ontology terms don't seem to show up there.
No, they do. They do. It's just that it's pulling from the EBI. Here, I can show you. So we have it up on our dev site. So let me browse here for ontology. Get an ontology term. So it can display all of the things that are in the EBI OLS. So like if we go here, let's go to one of these like this. And if we go to, so it shows the TO terms. And you can actually pick all the, these are all the different ontologies it'll display.
Yeah, or but we don't, but
display like the CO terms because.
They're those, I think those are application ontologies and not reference ontologies. So that it would not show up.
Which are application ontologies?
CO.
Yeah, well, it just depends if they're in their library or not.
No, I think it's looking, it's cutting short over here and asking somebody else to do your work. So
I agree. Well, we were just discussing this OLS biz, and I was just clarifying where this was coming from. So what they're doing is they're pulling from our Perl. So this is like the version of the TO that was released in November. So it looks there's a few things that look a little bit different. But anyway, I agree that we need a better visualization tool on our browser.
So here's my suggestion if you want to do in a shorter run. We have the reference TO, and then we have a CO, which is, and the mappings, I believe, are maintained in the CO file, CO OWL file. What we wanted in the longer run is a bridged version of TO, which has all the CO relations and terms integrated in it. It's a merged version, and if all whatever website you were showing, if they can pick up the Perl of that file, then everything would come back. And in that way, Mari Anjali, and what the goal was is to recreate the CO OWL file using the TO bridge file and for every species separately.
And but what will happen when, I mean, a CO curator will update his file?
They will update the TD file, not the OWL file.
Yeah, so then you will have to load it again in the file, and then we will have to export it to use it on our website.
No, you don't have to do it. That should be picked up automatically. As long as the mapping is in the TD file, the script that runs on creating the mappings and mergers should happen automatically.
Okay, so but we have to discuss.
Yeah, that is what That is what Chris Mungall was expecting, that if the data stays in the TD file. And as long as it can be dumped in a CSV format, he would be able to write an automated script to convert it and create all the relationships, and then it creates a bridge TO file and it will go up.
Okay, and can we use the script I did? I mean, I converted directly from the TD, I mean the Excel file directly in the OBO file or OR file, whatever is better for you, with the mappings. And then from this file, you can use that to your merge version. I thought that was
But right now, I think it will work. But right now, the method was we had to load the CO file separately. I'm not interested in loading the CO file separately. What I'm saying is that if we just take the mappings from the CSV file, create a merge on the TO, and then do a round trip, and then after the merge is done, then you dump it back as a CO. So it will be a read-only CO OWL file rather than a writable file.
I don't understand the read-only file.
Instead of you creating the CO OWL file, right now that is the method, right?
Yes.
Instead of you creating, we should be able to recreate the file for you.
Okay, but who will do that job?
Yeah.
I mean, I am able to do this job, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, I think I would have a separate technical call with Chris, you, Lol, and another group in order to go through that workflow rather than discussing it, everything over here. All we're saying is that as long as your curators maintain all the mappings in the TD template file, that is absolutely fine. And you do it the pickup from there or we pick up from there. It's the same way of plugin. But all the mappings are maintained in one single place.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else?
Well, we were going to, let me go back to the agenda here. So I just wanted to give a little update. We've done quite a bit of work on the browsers this week and since we got back from PEG. So for the people who weren't at PEG and didn't hear about that, as Pankaj mentioned, this is the main Plantium website is now plantium.org. And behind that is our beta browser. So I was going to show you this. This is so when you go here, there's two different places you can go. This is the home page. We're working on some modifications to this right now, if you have comments or whatever, let us know. And then when you go in here, you go to the browser page. So our other site that we had previously, the dev.plantium site, is now converted to our development site. So we've set this up now so that it looks similar, but you'll notice the dev in the name. And this is going to load from the GitHub files every night so we can examine if we're working on the ontology. And right now we have all our ontologies loaded, and we don't have any annotations loaded on here. But we can use this if we need to test annotation data sets individually without disrupting our main site. So here's a list of all the ontologies that are loaded on here. Yeah, so this is helpful. We're kind of moving towards getting our system set up so that we can start pushing forward a little faster. You know, and we can, as Pankaj mentioned, this idea of the merge TO file, we can load it up here and see how it behaves and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And since we already have the mappings ready, or Murray has already done it for, I think, lentil, cassava, and rice, right?
Well, yes. All three of us did those.
I mean, somebody has done it. So the group has done it for lentil, cassava, and rice.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should give it a try on the merge version and see how it works out.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So we'll talk with Chris about that and find out when he would work with us on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can be on a late call if it's needed. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, that's great.
I mean, if it's just one time, I mean, I can do that.
Yeah.
Perfect. And what else?
For Chris. He said he couldn't talk to us until next week.
They're all busy doing that Go review grant, renewal grant. So those folks are not available.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe we should, Georgios, we haven't had you on the call for a long time. Can you hear us? Yes. You're muted right now, but unmute. There we go.
Yeah. There we go.
Hi.
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
You have any comments or questions?
No, I, at the moment it's fine. I think I would. I was thinking about what we have here, and maybe at some point we can include the Aperol function, whereby you can basically do description logic queries over the ontologies. So you can have a look at Aperol.net, and you see what I mean.
Aperol,
yeah. So we can.
Is that something you work on? You're working on. Aperol, is that something you've developed?
Yeah, yeah, it goes from Aberystwyth out.
Right.
Georgie, do you want to show something on your end, if you have something ready?
From Aberystwyth?
Mm-hmm.
I have to run a demo, but possibly. Yes, exactly. Go to Laura's already doing it. Yep. So you can, basically it's a repository of ontologies, but it gives you, it also links and automatically searches on PDF documents based on ontology queries, but try one of the searches that is there. Any would be like
one of these.
Yeah, so if you see that those expressions are part of some apoptotic process and regulate some apoptosis. So these are complex expressions, and they search the ontologies and they find instances in the ontologies, all of them. It says all ontologies that are available in BioPortal and more, mm-hmm. I think. So you can search for entities that are have been linked with those terms. Mm-hmm. And you can also search, so this is one function, so this does actually run a query overall the ontologies to do that. And you can also, there is something called overall PubMed, where it searches, again, using the same technique over all the literature that's available in PubMed using ontologies. In browser ontologies, it will have all the ontologies. Yeah, the colors, the developer bit is, were not that great, I think. But
very colorful, yes.
Yeah, I know. It's a geek that did that, yes. He's coming to study here to do a PhD with me, so I'll get him to fix that at some point.
And George, I have a question. Are you using an inferred graph to make your query?
Are we using a what?
The inferred graph?
Yes, yes.
So first you run a reasoner and then
yes.
You make the query, okay.
Yes. And you can do a Sparkle query as well. So you can work with all the Sparkle endpoints that are available. So this is something we did a couple of years ago, but so Planet Trail will be there. All of them will be there. There should be a browser as well. So here you can also visualize the graph like you had for,
Wow, that's very cool. And you can run queries on it and.
You can run a query on Sparkle for all the Sparkle endpoints, but also you can run queries on PubMed. So it will search, again, using the semantics, not the terms, not the text. So you can search for part of, I don't know, cardiomyopathy, and we'll give you phenotypes that are linked to cardiomyopathy, and so on.
So, it doesn't browse to it, it just pops up a little thing.
Yeah, I think they're just fixing that. It's not great. I know that the visualization was not the big thing for us. The main thing was to show what you can do with, if you do semantic query, if you do...
And are you at Cambridge now? Or are you still in Aberystwyth?
I'm in Birmingham.
Manchester.
He's in Birmingham.
Or Birmingham.
Birmingham.
Yes.
Okay.
Georgie, we got the data that you created for the projection.
Yep.
This is what we did was we took the Arabidopsis annotations and based on the homology created by genomology sets developed by Justin Elser, Georgie was able to project the Arabidopsis annotation to the angiosperm species that we had in our data set. And those were loaded on the plantiome.
Okay. Oh, great. So it worked fine. Oh,
yes.
Great.
Right. So maybe, for example, Lol, you want to show something in Omega 2 for let's say...
Okay, we can go and look.
Before you leave Laura there, because I was seeing where you were typing, have to type a proper Manchester AL query or a DL query. So it will be part of some leaf, not part of leaf, you see?
Oh, okay. So let's try that.
So it uses all the ontology, and then part of is a problem because part of is differently put in different ontologies. So the way you typed it, it will be in non-ontology. So you have to use the expression. Do you see where it says try part of some apoptotic process? Use that type of syntax. So part of is not universally used the same way across all ontologies. So it will have to be with no underscore.
No underscore.
Okay. Yeah. And then not try. Nah. Apparently they're not that. Nothing has a part of some leaf. I don't know why, but.
Okay, well, it gives us an idea. We can come back and explore it some more.
Yeah.
Well, leaf is a single word, so. Yeah.
Is there any leaf relationships? Does leaf have part of relationships?
I would think so. Yes, it does.
Well, vascular leaf, no?
Yeah.
So is the part of, do you know in TO what how the part of, so you have to know how the part of, what the idea of the part of is, if you see what I mean. So FMA would use a different part of than what you have in Go and things like that. Unfortunately. Part of is a problem.
Okay, well, maybe that was a bad thing to pick.
Well, part of is an issue because you have to know how its ontology developer, how they use it, right?
Yeah. Okay, well, we're kind of getting down to the end of the hour, so maybe we should move on. And what you want to go back and look at the browser?
Yeah, can you briefly show me what Pankaj just mentioned? Just briefly, and then...
No, not ontology annotations.
Okay, and what do we want
to show? Wait, taxon? Taxon?
Hang on one second, didn't work.
It's all right. You're already there.
Oh.
You're on the dev.
Oh, that's why. Yeah. I know. I was asking Justin yesterday if we could actually make them different colors. Because it's easy to get confused. He's gone. Okay, so yes, that's why nothing came up, because we have no annotations loaded on the dev site. Okay, and what did you want to show, Pankaj?
Ontology type, ontology aspect, say function, select function.
Okay.
And then taxon. Let's do Gajanus Gajan.
This thing?
Yeah. So, an evidence type. Oops.
They're all EIA. Yeah.
Didn't we have those? No, it's not. It's not the one. Let me check. Can you check for rice then?
Let me get out of here.
So Pankaj, basically that will use all the inference we did, you asked to do across the functions from Go from other species, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Well, I think this is the rice category, the indica group.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Okay.
And then evidence type. Well, okay, but don't worry. I got the message.
This is how it will basically be working at that point.
Yeah. I got it. That's cool. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Eventually, when we get the sequences, maybe we can work on actually getting some better.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll try to do that when you have the sequences. Yes. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a little bit of a cleaning needs to be done. That's why we call it beta.
Okay.
I'll work on that, and then hopefully we'll be able to get it. I think Georgie is working on using some better method on devising or projecting the annotations moving from one species to another species, right, Georgie?
Yeah, and I think eventually what we will also be doing, or at least I hope we'll be doing, is maybe projecting some of the Aberol features into Plagon, so you can have semantic querying over the ontologies and the datasets if they are linked to that, when they're linked to that, but also do the PhenomNet approach when we have data and we can do the querying as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great.
And Pankaj, you mentioned to me that something that Laurel was doing, and I can't remember what it was, but if you recall, let her know that she doesn't need to do it by hand, and we can probably do it automatically at some point.
But you don't know what it is.
I can't remember where it was, no. It was before Christmas, and I've drank lots of wine over Christmas.
Oh, no, it was converting the PPP files data. That was an extended format and converting them into TO.
Was it that one?
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was, but please let you know so you don't have to do it manually. We will do it automatically, I think, at some point.
Yes.
Okay, well, maybe we can talk about that more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When we remember what it is.
When you think of what it is, let me know in case I'm doing it at the time. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Elizabeth is still there. So I wanted to check back. That she raised a concern.
She's just what, okay.
She wanted to talk a couple of minutes about what is a breeding trait and things. And we're always confusing which is a descriptor and a breeding trait. So Elizabeth, can you tell us something about that?
Yes. So the what we call the descriptors is a term inherited from the list of morphotaxonomic descriptors, describing a plant by its morphology. And this is what the curators of gen banks or in vivo collection do use to describe the accession they have at its best expression of all the traits. That's mainly what it is. And then descriptors are usually measured on a hand, just a small hand of plants that represent the accession. There's no stress normally when you measure it because you want to describe the plant, so you avoid to put any stress on it. And most of the time it's converted into a qualitative scale. So, and most of the descriptors are used for taxonomic identification. And so this is what is a descriptor. And a breeder's trait is the evaluation of the trait across multi-sites, across multiple environments, across generations. So checking the stability, for example, of a resistance. And this is mainly, most of the time, it's quantitative. Of course, some of them are qualitative because when they look, if the color of the flower is a useful breeding indicator, then you will have a qualitative descriptor. But mainly it's quantitative. And sometimes to make them more interpretable, you have some conversion and calculation that will make your measurement becoming an index or categorical scale. So this is a difference. It's between just describing the accession you have in a gen bank at its maximum expression of the traits versus evaluating the stability of the trait under stress.
But they're all traits.
They're all traits, but they are not descriptors.
No, so for our purposes, I understand it. I understand what you're coming across as. For us in the Plantium, whether it is the trait is evaluated at multiple sites, or the trait is evaluated, or the plant is evaluated for a trait in one location just to describe a plant, we should not be making any distinction between whether this trait is for multiple sites or single sites. It is evaluated exactly in the same way, probably, but maybe some people may do a qualitative one, some may do an absolute score, it's a type of experiment. Experiment was for multiple sites versus single site.
Pankaj, it's not evaluated the same way, it's what I said. The character morphotaxonomic characterization is when the plant expresses the trait at its maximum. Evaluation is evaluating the trait under several stress. Can be drought, can be pest, can be... So it's not the same. So in the eyes of breeders, a descriptor means something different. So what I just want is to not use descriptors and just use trait or variables. That would simplify.
We are okay just using saying plant traits.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds fine.
That is fine because I was using descriptor thing is because your TD is called as trait descriptor template, right?
No, it's called trait dictionary.
Trait dictionary. Yeah, it's a lot of vocabulary going around.
Descriptors are really tied to the list of booklets that Biodiversity has produced in the past for gen banks for morphotaxonomic description. That's why we need to be a bit careful because the community knows from a long time the difference.
Right. So we just have to be careful not to use descriptors.
Exactly. So if you call it a trait, it's a trait, and that's it.
A trait. Good. That sounds good.
So we will all be calling it, no matter how it is evaluated or how the experiment is set up, we are just looking at the trait.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay, good. Well, I think we should wrap up because we're kind of at the end of the hour, and we have some TO term things we can discuss, and I think we'll push this and we'll do this on Tuesday. We'll plan to have another meeting Tuesday. We get back onto our regular schedule, and we can talk about some more term things then. Does that work?
Yeah. I don't want to open a can of worms right now.
Yeah. So Does anyone else have other things that they need to talk about today?
Yeah, just that my mail came a bit late, but I think we need to have at least one meeting for planning ahead. Because what we are discussing are very punctual actions, but we probably need to have a bit of a vision with some milestones, like the workshop in May, ICBO in August, and what happens in the meantime. And then it would be nice if we could do that, not today, because it's too late, but next another.
Yes, I totally agree, Elizabeth. We just haven't had a chance since we got back from PEG to really get that going.
Yeah. So I think we need
to get back onto a regular meeting schedule, and then we'll have time to talk about more.
I think what we need to have is a separate ontology call where you would be discussing the changes in the TO. We need one technical call, how we want to manage the mappings and create the OWL files that gets loaded on the Mingo and how their bridge files are distributed. Mm-hmm. And then third one is cleaning up the Plantium and how we are building the annotations. I think separate ones. And I think, Georgie, we would need your help on the annotation side as well. And Barry, feel free to be on the... on both the ontology calls kind of thing. Yeah, so I think instead of listening to overall, I think we need to have three separate calls.
Right. I wasn't saying we would do it all in one call.
No, I'm just suggesting. Yeah. That's the outcome of this meeting.
So that's a plan for three calls. Okay.
Yeah. Good. Thanks.
Okay, thanks everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.